Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly rundown of all the important health stories of the week. And you can come directly into the doctor's office and pose your questions. 877-726-8255 is our number. And we got lots of stuff to cover on today's program. So many stories in the news. And of course, COVID-19 looms large. The elephant in the room, in certain direction that we're taking, are things getting better? Are things evolving towards a fourth or fifth surge? Viral variants looming on the horizon, what's going to happen? We invite your questions, 877-726-8255. And of course, there's the vaccine. And more and more people are opting for the vaccine. More and more people reporting that, oh, it just went fine. I was okay. And that's increasing vaccine acceptance, reducing vaccine hesitancy. But some people are having a rough time with the vaccines. And there have been some hiccups in vaccine rollout, particularly as concerns the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe, and now some concerns about whether it should be approved for the United States. And there have been some concerns about the J&J vaccine. A couple of vaccine sites have suspended administration of the J&J vaccine because, well, there have been some problems. They say the vaccine is fine, but we're going to talk about that and other subjects on today's program. Lots of information coming your way. 877-726-8255. And, of course, the big news on Capitol Hill is that we're talking about infrastructure relief, a bill that, by various accounts, could cost upwards of $2 or $3 trillion. Forget about billions. Billions don't matter anymore. Now it's about trillions. And once you cross that threshold, the sky's the limit. We've already allocated $1.9 trillion for COVID recovery and an additional bill of uncertain multi-trillion dollar dimensions is shaping up to address what are called infrastructure needs. And that's broadly construed as addressing both material infrastructure as well as human infrastructure. So it is whatever they say it should be. But it's clear that COVID-19 has undermined Americans' health and fitness. And there has been what has been termed a twin pandemic. Lockdowns and stress have exacerbated the enormous pre-existing burden of preventable illnesses associated with obesity. It's a two-way street because those very self-same comorbidities make it more likely that you'll get very sick or die from COVID-19. I have a very interesting story later in the program that suggests that your cholesterol to HDL ratio may be as good a predictor as any of whether you're going to die of COVID if you contract it. That's pretty amazing news. But the preventable diseases associated with obesity, which include, it's a long list, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, certain cancers, liver disease, even neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, psychiatric disease, of course, and all manner of inflammatory disorders, that these have been getting worse since COVID, not the direct result of COVID, but collateral damage from COVID. So we're talking about all this money so that we can, and the buzzword these days, reimagining law enforcement, reimagining our transportation modalities, reimagining our environment, and reimagining our energy sources. But what about reimagining our health care? And just to put this in context, you know, we talk a lot about the COVID-15. That's kind of a meme these days. It means the 15 pounds that you gained because you were sheltering in place. Grubhub was on your speed dial, and gyms were closed, and you could binge on Netflix while lounging on the sofa. Well, a lot of people are waking up to spring 2021, finding that they're quite a few pounds heavier. And there's an amazing survey, really mind-blowing, from the American Psychological Association, which suggests that the weight gain goes way beyond the notorious COVID-15. They say in their survey that 42% of U.S. adults report undesired weight gain, with an average gain of 29 pounds. Now, keep in mind that that's among the people who report weight gain. Not everybody reports weight gain, but among the 42%, the average gain was 29 pounds. And just to break it down, for black adults who bore the brunt of COVID hospitalizations and deaths, 42% reported weight gain, and their average weight gain was, wait for it, 35 pounds. And amazingly, young people had it hardest. Turns out that baby boomers didn't do that badly. They were already a little overweight anyway, and maybe that wasn't so much of an adjustment for them. They're used to sheltering in place to some extent. But young people had it hardest. 48% of millennials aged 25 to 41 reported an average of 41-pound weight gain. That's not going to look good at that big 20-year high school reunion. And 51% of parents of young kids who saddled with the responsibility of homeschooling, and there was no remission from 24/7 childcare responsibilities, so they were especially stressed. They reported weight gains averaging 36 pounds. Now, these numbers sound a little wacky. So keep in mind, this wasn't a formal study. It was a survey and a compilation of people's self-reported weight gains. It's not an average of a randomly selected sample. And some people actually reported weight loss. Some people got on a health kick. You know, they said, well, there's nothing else I can do. I'm going to start exercising like crazy. I'm going to eat really well, prepare my own food. And they did better. They did better during COVID. But even if partially true, it reveals a disturbing trend that's going to set back progress against preventable disease for years and possibly decades, way beyond the time when COVID, we hope, will be vanquished. And into this situation appears a very interesting article in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's probably America's most best-read nutrition journal, Prioritizing Nutrition Security in the U.S. And they say in this that for years we've been trying to stamp out hunger and starvation in America. You've heard that meme, hunger in America, hunger in America. Well, it's not so much about hunger in America. It's about what's called food insecurity, which means people don't know necessarily where their next meal's coming from, and then they're going to get it, and they're going to buy cheap available food, junk food, because it's affordable and easy to obtain. But this guy in Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Darius Mazafarian, is talking about is nutrition security. And he says the definition of that is having consistent access, availability, and affordability of foods and beverages that promote well-being and prevent, and if needed, treat disease. That may be the next needed approach to inform clinical care and public policy. And the problem is that we have a food program in this country. It's called SNAP, Supplementary Nutritional Assistance Program, formerly food stamps. And a lot of critics of that program have said that what it does is it subsidizes the purchase of junky foods. There are no restrictions on whether you can buy cookies or candy or soft drinks or poor quality ultra-processed foods in that program. And the net result is that a lot of SNAP recipients are heavier kids in families that participate in SNAP. Well, it turns out that they're fatter. They're more likely to have metabolic syndrome and prediabetes. And that is a concern. So what we need is, we need to go big on human infrastructure, but where in all those proposals is funding directed to reforming nutrition in America, which is very fundamental to our health. And we got to get the word to Congress and the executive branch that this is a priority. Yeah, roads, bridges, more, support for people who don't have enough money. But when it comes to nutrition, simply handing out food with billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of appropriations, is it really going to reimagine healthcare in America? Clearly not the way it's currently envisioned. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients, Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines the unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstore supermarkets and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Coming up, a routinely performed blood test, you've already had it, can predict whether you're likely to have severe COVID or die from a coronavirus infection. We'll circle back to that story in just a moment, but 877-726-8255 is our number. We got a call from Susan in Bayville, Long Island. How you doing there?
Very well, thank you.
It's a nice day out here. I'm actually on Long Island. I'm looking at the water from my home studio right now, and you're not too far away from me. I'm a little bit further down the LIE than where you're located.
Yeah, it's beautiful over here. It really is a beautiful little piece of the world. I have loved living here.
So what's your question?
So my question is, I've had the first COVID-19 vaccine, the Moderna, and I've recently read an article that indicated that one dose is 80% effective. So my question is there any sense to not, if that's true, to not taking the second dose since we're in this kind of crazy moment with variants and the possibility down the road of booster shots, and we don't really know, I guess, the impact of how often we can get jabbed with this thing and future consequences down the road. So I guess my question is really, you know, is 80% enough right now to see what's coming down the pike?
Okay, you know, that's an excellent question, and there's a lot in that question right there, because the Moderna vaccine generally packs more of a wallop the second time you get it. You know, that's what a lot of people are bracing themselves for. They say, well, you know, the first one wasn't so bad. My arm was sore. I felt a little under the weather. But that second one really knocks you out. So the question is it really necessary? And also in view of the scarcity of vaccine supplies, would it not be more reasonable to adopt a policy like they have adopted in the UK, where they've gone for, and they have two-phase vaccines there too. The AstraZeneca vaccine is the main one they have. They've gone for policy of let's make sure that everyone gets at least the first one. And we shouldn't limit the accessibility to a shot, you know, in view of the fact that some people need to get their second shot, denying some people a first shot. So that, however, the vaccine manufacturers have said, well, no, this is the way it was tested. This is the way it works. Yeah, now we've found that you get 80% protection, which is pretty darn good. 80% protection from something that may not be so bad in the first place and that is very unlikely to kill you, and that, you know, still with all the publicity about COVID, yeah, not all that many, you know, such a high percentage of people are getting it. So the question is whether to delay as a personal choice. That goes against the narrative, and that goes against public pronouncements. Yes, you know, you get your second appointment as soon as you've had your first shot, and you're supposed to lockstep whatever 2 weeks later and get the second one so that you can achieve 95%, at least theoretically, protection. Unless, I don't know the answer. And some people are you know, voting with their feet. They're eschewing the opportunity to get the second shot. But important to say is that if you decide to do so, you should notify the vaccine site that, no, you're not going to be showing up, so that they can allocate the shot that you have foregone to someone who has not already gotten it. But yeah, there's also concern about, you know, what's going to happen in fall or winter when new variants emerge. Are they going to come around with another booster? Already the vaccine manufacturers are researching that. And you can be sure that COVID-19 is not going to be totally vanquished by the end of 2021. And they may circle around with a new improved shot, which may address the possibility that the first shot doesn't cover you for newly emerging variants. Keeping a very, very close eye on that situation. Although the good news is that the shots seem to work pretty much against the currently seen variants. So that's the current status. Thanks for your call. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And there's a fascinating study here in Nature Scientific Reports, which suggests that a commonly available blood test, it's not esoteric, we've all had this blood test and you have records of your results, could provide you with a window on how well or ill you may fare if you should come down with COVID-19. Virtually every one of us has had a lipid profile. It looks at cholesterol and HDL and triglycerides at the very least. And so you can find those results and predict your outcome from COVID-19. According to the study, researchers looked at the lipid profiles of over 1,300 patients before hospitalization and then correlated that to the severity of their COVID-19. And what they found is that a predictor of severity and death is something called your triglyceride to HDL ratio. So, for example, if your triglycerides are 180 and your HDL cholesterol is rather low, 30, do the math. You got about a 6-to-1 ratio. Am I right? But if you have a good triglyceride to HDL ratio, say your triglycerides are under 100, they're 90, and your HDL cholesterol is a robust 60, well, do the math there. That's a 1.5-to-1 ratio. And so it turns out that this is a very accurate predictor of how bad your COVID infection is going to be. And it was so accurate that it was equal to looking at BMI, which is body mass index, a measure of obesity. It was equal to whether or not you have diabetes. It was even equal to your age. That's pretty amazing because, you know, age is a pretty powerful predictor of how severe your COVID is going to be. And it was greater than any other lipid results like looking at your LDL or total cholesterol. And there's another interesting implication of that. They say here that millions of Americans take statins to lower their LDL, the LDL cholesterol. But the authors found, quote, no important differences in terms of whether you were taking a statin between those who did better or worse with COVID-19, suggesting that medicating down LDL may have benefits, you know, perhaps for cardiovascular disease in some cases, but none in regards to COVID-19 severity. Because you see, statin drugs do not reduce your triglycerides, your circulating fats. And in fact, what they often do is they lower your cholesterol, but they also lower your HDL. So they're not saying the statins make things worse. They just don't make things better. They just don't change anything. So they say, ideally, you shouldn't have more than twice the triglycerides than you have HDL. So what they're saying here is, say your triglycerides are 100, and your HDL is 50, that's the cutoff point. If your triglycerides are very high, that puts you at risk, especially when your HDL is low. Now, why might they be? Are triglycerides poisonous? Do they suppress your immune system? Well, no, it's not so much that. It's that people who have high triglycerides and low HDLs tend to have metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, which appears to be a key risk factor for not just cardiovascular disease, but also for COVID-19. So yet another incentive for you to lower your triglycerides and raise your HDL. How do you do that? Well, one way is with a low-carb diet. Don't eat a lot of refined carbohydrates. Avoid sugar. Keep your carbs low. And that will lower your triglycerides dramatically. Although they're circulating fats, they respond very well to carb restriction. And in particular, fructose from soda or fruit juice tends to raise triglycerides. Another thing that will lower your triglycerides and raise your HDL is exercise, just physical exercise, aerobic exercise in particular. And another thing that lowers triglycerides is high-dose fish oil. In fact, right now, the only approved indication for using high-dose fish oil is for lowering triglycerides. And to do that, you need, you know, just not one or two capsules, but you need to go to about 6 capsules per day to achieve the triglyceride lowering effects of fish oil. So, yeah, there you have it. An HDL triglyceride ratio is a marker of high risk for severe outcomes with COVID-19. Fascinating study. 877-726-8255 is our number if you want to come directly into the doctor's office and pose a question. But first, this is one of the next big things, I think, in nutritional therapy. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds, which have anti-inflammatory effects that our bodies need. Let me tell you about a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. It's Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. It's got 4 plant-based foods: black garlic, black radish root, black peppercorn, and my current favorite, black cumin seed, which is a source of thymoquinone. These body-ready healing botanicals support your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and help with weight management, circulation, and immunity. Black for Health is a delicious-tasting supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information about this unique supplement and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturepharm.com/Hoffman. Okay, this item, a lot of people during lockdown, you know, especially if you're a little older, a great recreational activity, if you have the space, if you have your own home, home gardening. And it's spring, and the garden supply stores are getting hammered because more and more people are planting, they're making their own vegetable gardens, flower gardens. It's great. Study here, effects of gardening on physical and mental health among older adults during COVID-19 lockdown. The study involved 171 elderly participants, and they completed questionnaires and yada, yada, yada. Okay. Self-related physical health, significant improvement, emotional and mental health, significant improvement, sleep quality, significant improvement, and the composite health score of the individuals who were involved in home gardening was significantly better than for controls. So they say this is especially concerning for elderly populations who simultaneously are at higher risk for bad COVID-19 infections and also multiple physical and mental conditions as a result of limited physical mobility, weaker immune systems, and increased social isolation. So they say one way to address these is by spending more time in nature, numerous health benefits of contact with outdoor green space, et cetera, et cetera. This study suggests that gardening may be a very, very effective measure to undertake during COVID lockdown, and a safe activity because, you know, it's like you're in your own garden and, you know, it's like where you can remain socially isolated and still commune with nature. Now, fast forward to an article in my local newspaper. Yes, there still is a local newspaper out here on the east end of Long Island. The Express News. And I'm here in New York State. And there's an article here about gardening. It's a weekly column from the Hampton Gardener, registered trademark. This guy writes about, you know, whatever's, you know, hot in the gardening world. And this week it's beans, you know, so it's like nice pictures of beans, all the wonderful beans you can start growing. This is the time of year to plant them. Okay, great. Then there's a little side note. The New York legislature has passed and the governor has signed S 854, legalizing the possession, use, and sale of marijuana. So that brings up a whole set of possibilities. They say that the law legalizes the home growing of 6 plants for each household adult, up to 2. So a husband and wife could theoretically grow a total of 12 marijuana plants. You can see this, you know, this dovetails nicely with this wholesome activity for seniors, you know, growing in your garden. And now you can grow some marijuana plants legally. Interesting, the law also states that you can store up to 5 pounds of the stuff that you've grown. That's a lot of pot for grandma and grandpa. They say that they say there's an additional provision to the legislation. The home grower will have to provide adequate security to ensure that those under 21 will not have access to the plants. So I can see people building what? They're going to have to build like electrified fences around their pot plants, in their home guards, lest some, you know, teenage raiders, decide that, you know, the elderly couple on the corner is growing some nice pot plants. And, we're going to grab some of those pot plants for our own purposes. And by the way, one of the main reasons for the legalization of pot is so that we can tax it from marijuana dispensaries. Will that apply to the pot that you grow in your own home garden, along with the bean plants and the, you know, herb garden, and so on that you use for household purposes? For, you know, it's like, the revenue agent comes by and says, "Hey, you're growing pot plants there. We're going to tax them." And, oh, by the way, grandma and grandpa maybe could sell them to family members or neighbors, you know, because, hey, we're growing some pot plants here. It's legal now in the state of New York. A whole lot of possibilities, really opening up a can of worms here with the new pot legalization. But, hey, you know, a healthy and potentially lucrative activity for seniors in New York State. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm a huge fan of Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract Reserve. Take it myself for prevention and recommend it to my patients with high coronary calcium scores, elevated cardio risks, and compromised immune health. Kyolic's Aged Garlic Extract research is impressive with over 870 peer-reviewed published scientific articles. Most compelling are studies demonstrating the slowing of atherosclerosis and those showing antihypertensive benefits, ideal for optimizing blood pressure. Kyolic Reserve also works well with statins to enhance cardioprotection. It's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement on the market. Made from organically grown garlic, the aging process makes it completely odorless and it won't upset your stomach. I recommend taking Kyolic Reserve daily as part of your heart-healthy lifestyle. Look for Kyolic Reserve at fine natural health retailers near you. Learn more at kyolic.com. That's kyolic.com. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines 4 plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, with you. 877-726-8255 is our number. That number is available to you 24/7, 365. So that means you can, you know, question occurs to you on a Wednesday night, even when we're not on the air. You can call 877-726-8255 and record a question, as did this individual. Let's hear it.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. My name is Maddie. I saw you about 12, 13 years ago about sudden hearing loss, which I recovered, and terrible tinnitus. Everything is fine. I do have some ringing, but it's very livable. I'm just very concerned if I should get the vaccine, because I do hear some stories of people who do and have lost sudden hearing loss and have had terrible ringing in the ear. I was just wondering if there was one vaccine that would be a little better, and what nutrients could I take before I get the vaccine and after. Thanks a lot.
Okay. You know, and I want to thank Betty for bringing up this issue, because it is a thing. Hearing loss associated with the vaccine or tinnitus, individuals who never experienced tinnitus, or more commonly, a worsening of tinnitus in people who've had tinnitus. It is a real thing. And I recently talked to an audiologist colleague of mine, because I had seen a patient who was fine prior to, I believe it was the Pfizer vaccine, if I'm not mistaken. And he within a few days after the Pfizer vaccine, he'd never experienced tinnitus before. He developed really annoying tinnitus. And he's a guy in relatively good health. He's not someone with a lot of comorbidities. He's not, obese, hypertensive, or diabetic. He just, you know, took the vaccine patriotically. He's a guy around 60. And, came to me for addressing his tinnitus problem. And my audiologist colleague said, yeah, she's seen some cases of that. I mean, like, not tons of cases, but she's seen a few cases of people developing tinnitus. In fact, there have been some cases of people developing sudden onset hearing loss in the wake of the vaccine. Is it causative? Is it coincidental? Well, it seems to be a pattern, because a UK database cataloging adverse events related to the AstraZeneca vaccine, that's their predominant vaccine, reports there were 320 tinnitus reports, but that's among tens of thousands of recipients of the vaccine. So it's uncommon, but it seems to be a thing. For the Pfizer vaccine, there was 196 tinnitus reports among the fewer recipients of that vaccine, which is less available there in the UK. As to Moderna, I don't think we have any statistics, but we can probably expect that some people may experience that. On the other hand, I got to say that, it's a risk-benefit equation, because there are a lot of reports, probably far more reports, of people who develop tinnitus after COVID. And in fact, there's a celebrated case of a guy who killed himself last month. I don't know the guy, but he's a popular figure. Texas Roadhouse's Kent Taylor dealt with severe tinnitus after COVID illness. The restaurant chain Texas Roadhouse shared the sad news that their CEO and founder, Kent Taylor, died by suicide. His family said that Taylor had battled, quote, unbearable long-term symptoms after recovering from COVID-19, among which were severe tinnitus. And it can drive you to distraction, to depression, and rarely, but in this case, may have been a contributing factor to his suicide. The medical journal BMJ published a case study about a 45-year-old British man who developed tinnitus and hearing loss in 1 year after he was critically ill with COVID-19. So pick your poison. You know, is it the vaccine that's going to cause tinnitus, or is it the COVID-19 that you get because you didn't get the vaccine that's causing your tinnitus? And right now, we don't know in the sweepstakes among all the vaccine contenders which one is more or less likely to cause side effects. There are definitely side effects potentially with all of the vaccines, uncommonly, but it's real, you know, beyond just sore arm and, you know, a few days of malaise or fatigue and occasionally a little fever. People are experiencing some side effects, and that's real. But that has to be weighed against the possibility that you will develop long COVID. It's been shown that very high percentage of people after COVID, particularly if they've been hospitalized, have neurological and psychiatric long-term sequelae, you know, so-called long COVID, but just bewildering symptoms because COVID attacks the nerves. We know that because it knocks out the smell of a lot of people, and that's the olfactory nerve. There's some real consequences to COVID. So things that could prevent that, well, it's not really highly well established what could be the right regimen of supplements to take to protect you from the side effects of the vaccine. I commented on that in a recent article. You can see what I have to say. There's some plausible candidates for tinnitus like alpha-lipoic acid, NAD. These things may help. But ginkgo, these are some of the possibilities. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.